Okay, so let's start. So the topic of today's space, and again, if you're new, just recognize that I do encourage everybody to participate. So just raise your hand if you want to say something. It's interactive. I love that. But the topic of today's space is going to be how to set boundaries in your relationship. Now, this honestly is quite a large topic, and there's been many books written about it, and everybody's got their own take on what setting boundaries entails. I have a specific take that I want to share with everyone today. And the first thing I want to do is I want to ask anybody here if they'd be willing to share with us what their definition of a boundary is. So sometimes it's hard for us to set boundaries when we don't really know what a boundary is, right? I've heard boundaries defined anywhere from, you know, my boundary is that you treat me nicely, right? Or my boundary is that you do the dishes. Okay. These are wonderful ideas and wonderful things in relationships, but they're not necessarily a boundary, right? So we need to, my boundary is that I always go to bed by 9 o'clock, right? So I'm going to ask, anybody here have a suggestion on what they think a boundary is? Does anybody want to pipe up and give their definition? Okay, well, in that case, I will go ahead and share with you mine. So in my book, the way I teach boundaries, hi, Samara. The way I teach boundaries is that a boundary is a statement or a belief or a position that we take on how we will not be treated. Okay, so a boundary is a definition that we create for ourselves. No one else can create our own boundaries on how we will not be treated. Okay, so let's dive a little deeper into that. So what does it mean how I will not be treated, right? So the first thing is that it's not how I am going to be treated. So saying to somebody that my boundary is that you're nice to me or that you speak to me kindly is not a boundary. That's a request, right? That's, I would like for the person to speak kindly to me. I would like the person to approach me with a sweet tone of voice and a kind demeanor. And that's beautiful, but that's not a boundary, right? A boundary is a way that I will not be treated. So for instance, a boundary could be, my boundary is that I will not be yelled at. That would be an example of a boundary. My boundary is that for some people in certain relationships, unfortunately, they may have to set a boundary. I will not be hit, right? Or another boundary would be, my boundary is that I won't go out with you if you call me 5 minutes in advance and expect to pick me up right away. So that could be a person's boundary. Getting more intimate. A boundary could be I will not have sex with you in certain ways. Right? That would be a boundary. Right? But my boundary can't be, you know, make love to me, you know, pleasantly. That's not a boundary. That's a desire, which is a beautiful desire, but that's not a boundary. So a boundary is a definition that we set that lets another person know, and even for ourselves, it's very important just to set even a boundary for ourselves. Oftentimes, we're unaware of our own boundaries, which is a big learning curve, especially for men, right? Men, I find that many men are not very boundaried in relationships. They just kind of like happy-go-lucky, like a dog wagging his tail, go into a relationship, and they find themselves all of a sudden very uncomfortable, and they don't understand what's going on because they were comfortable, they were happy, they were in love, and then before you know it, they're being treated in ways which feel uncomfortable for them, But since oftentimes they want to be nice and they think they're supposed to be loving and supportive, they find themselves in situations where they are betraying their own sense of self and their own sense of self-integrity. So it's kind of like they're, it's almost like unfamiliar territory. I find that women in general are more aware of their boundaries, but may also have a hard time setting them because they don't want to disappoint their partner or they don't want to make their partner mad. But so the first step in setting boundaries is for us to understand for ourselves, how is it that I don't want to be treated, right? So again, setting a boundary is not about how I want to be treated, it's about how I don't want to be treated. And the first step to setting a boundary is to recognize that for ourselves, to define it for ourselves. And this takes time. Many times we don't even realize that we don't want to be treated a certain way until we are treated that way and it doesn't feel good, right? Or it could be that we're treated that way for a long time and we're fine with it, or we think we're fine with it, and then only later do we discover that that way of being treated doesn't work for us anymore. Right, so it could be I've worked with couples where sarcasm in the beginning of the relationship, where they would kind of make fun of each other and kind of joke and, you know, kind of poke fun at each other, some of their weaknesses or some of the funny things they did or some things they had trouble with. But over time in the relationship, especially for the women, they don't like it anymore. And all of a sudden they start setting, they realize, hey, wait a second, I don't like to be the brunt of his jokes. I don't think it's funny. And all of a sudden they find themselves in the position of having to set a boundary. Whereas before, when they first were dating, she thought it was funny, or she may have thought it was flirtatious or whatever it was. So oftentimes just for ourselves, defining how we want to be treated or how we don't want to be treated, rather, correcting myself, can take time. And it's also something that changes over time, like example I just gave you. What I found acceptable, you know, in the beginning of our relationship, I might not find acceptable today. Okay, so that's the first step. The first step is for us to recognize our own boundaries, right? And like I said, this takes experience, time, and thought. Because oftentimes we just walk away from a situation feeling bad and not really understanding why, right? A common thing for men is they find themselves kind of being micromanaged, right? So this could be partially their fault because they've abdicated so much of the domestic kind of schedule or the domestic responsibilities to their, to the woman in their life, that lo and behold, they find themselves constantly being told what to do around the house or within the relationship. And they're like, wait a second, this doesn't feel good, right? But it was fine in the beginning, but now they just feel like, hey, you know, get off my back, you know? And it's not her fault because she's been doing this since day one and he's kind of been okay with it and he's kind of actually foisted that upon her, right? Okay. The next thing we have to know about boundaries. So let's just say you've defined for yourself, I don't want to be treated in a certain way. The next thing we need to do is we need to share that boundary with our partner. And the next thing we have to realize before we share that with our partner, before we set the boundary, so to speak, after we've figured out what our boundary is, how I don't want to be treated, is we have to understand that boundaries by their very nature are uncomfortable. Okay? Setting a boundary with your partner is not the same thing as buying her flowers or giving him a kiss on the cheek. Right, it's, or baking him a cake or whatever it is that you do kindly for your partner. It's the opposite of that. So as opposed to expressing yourself in a pleasant and connecting way, boundaries are by their very definition disconnecting on some level. Right? Because you're telling a person basically that the way that they've been treating you up till now is not okay with you. That's a separating statement. So we have to recognize that when we set boundaries, there's some uncomfortability that's inherent in setting boundaries. Right? We just have to realize, you know, relationships have connecting behaviors,
like intimacy, emotional affection, emotional connection, kindness. And then the relationships also have disconnecting or separating behaviors. And that would be called a boundary. Boundary is a way to draw the line between you and me. Now, this is only from a superficial perspective. On a deeper level, so just if you bear in mind here, on a deeper level, a boundary is actually an extremely connecting behavior, okay? Because what am I saying when I say a boundary, right? What am I doing? I'm saying to my partner, I'm saying, listen, I really want to be in relationship with you. You are really important to me. But for whatever reason, I'm no judgment here, I can't connect with you because of this behavior that's happening between us. And I want to connect with you. So what I'm asking from you is, let's cut out this behavior. Let's stop this behavior. Stop treating me this way, which is essentially enabling me to connect with you on a deeper level, on a more intimate, sincere, heartfelt, trusting, secure level, right? So even though a boundary, like I said, is inherently disconnecting on some level, on its core level, on its deeper level, it's actually extremely connecting. Because the reason why you're setting a boundary is not to push your partner away. It's the opposite, even though it feels that way. Hey, stop doing this. Hey, stop doing that. I don't like it when you do this. I don't like it when you do that. Leave me alone. Right? That's what it feels like, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is, hey, stop doing this so that we can stay in love. I can love you even more. Okay? So that's something to bear in mind when you're setting a boundary and when you're thinking, don't worry about hurting your partner's feelings so much. I mean, you have to always worry about hurting your partner's feeling, but it's important to pay attention to the fact that the real message behind the boundary is I love you and I want to have an even better relationship with you. And therefore, I'm going to set this boundary, which may hurt a little bit. It may not feel comfortable, but the reality is I'm doing this for us. Okay? So we haven't even gotten to how to set the boundary yet, but we're just setting up what is a boundary, how to figure out your own boundaries so far we've talked about, and understanding kind of the general perspective on what a boundary is and the purpose of a boundary in a relationship, so that now when we set a boundary, which we're going to get to in a second, we're in a much better mindset. So I see there's a request to speak here, and since I did mention that I do want it to be interactive, I'm going to give this gentleman a chance to talk, and we are going to invite Alan to share with us some thoughts. Alan, how are you? Are you still interested in speaking?
Sure, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, hey. My name's Alan. Your name's David, right?
Okay, correct. Gotcha.
Just want to say that I really enjoy your Twitter feed. My wife and I often talk about some of the things you post. We get a lot of value out of it. And
awesome. Thank you.
I wanted to chime in about this issue of boundaries. I see it in a little bit more expansive way than you do, and I just wanted to share that with you and the listeners.
Please do. That's awesome.
Instead of looking at it as like I'm not willing to be treated in certain ways, the way I like to look at it is a boundary is things that I'm willing to go along with and things that I'm not willing to go along with. And it doesn't always have to do with the way I'm being treated. So let me give you an example. My wife and I have four young daughters, and I might say to my wife, you know, honey, I'm just not willing to go to restaurants with the kids. I don't enjoy it. I find that it's expensive. The kids, act up. It's chaotic. I'm embarrassed about their behavior, and I just don't enjoy it. I don't look at it as how I'm being treated. I just look at it as I'm just not willing to go along with that. You know, it doesn't make me happy. You know, it doesn't make me happy. So I just don't want to do it. So, you know, either go without me or we don't do it, you know? And I feel like that is sort of how I look at boundaries. It's things I'm willing to go along
with.
And things I'm not willing to go along with, you know? And
yes, I like that. Alan, I like that very much. Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that with you. So, and I feel like it's a very constructive thing. You know, like you were saying, it's a positive connecting thing. So my wife knows, you know, what I'm willing to go along with, what I'm not willing to go along with. And she respects that. And I don't have to justify it. I don't have to, you know, give her an explanation that she can, you know, accept. She can just accept that that's how I feel. And it's very connecting. And you know, I do the same for her and whatever her boundaries might be.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, and I'm going to take that to heart. That that kind of improvement. I think you are correct. It is not only the way I want, the way I refuse to be treated, but it's also what I'm not willing to go along with, so to speak. If that's okay, I just added that word "not" in there because that would kind of be in line with the negative kind of. Negative connotation of a boundary, which is, you know, how I'm not willing to be treated, or like you said, how what I'm not willing to go along with. Yeah, awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure, my pleasure.
Yeah, and so just to add a little bit to what Alan was saying, I'm going to kind of just build off of what he was just sharing, and the idea that Alan is saying it's connecting, and I agree that it's connecting, but I just want to make a point here, and it's really important for those of us. I have a whole article on my website called. How to receive boundaries. Because oftentimes a relationship will have one partner who is much more boundaried than the other. And that's normal. That's normal. You know, some people are much more happy-go-lucky and just kind of, you know, blow with the wind and are, you know, just whatever, everything's okay. And then there's usually another partner who is more, I would say, constricted in many ways, and not to their negativity. Oftentimes that constriction allows them to achieve great things and allows them to, you know, push forward. But sometimes the person who's more constricted, more boundaried, doesn't necessarily understand the effect it has on their partner. So When I set a boundary, I oftentimes will privately, when one person sets a boundary, I'll oftentimes privately speak to the recipient of the boundary, and that's why I wrote my article. And to them, it can feel really bad. You know, like Alan is saying, and I'm very happy for him that him and his wife, it sounds like they have a beautiful relationship, and certainly congratulations on the four daughters. That's really amazing. And I'm sure his wife is a sweetheart and they get along perfectly. So I don't want to use him as an example, but I've had situations where somebody has just, you know, quote unquote, announced their boundary. And, you know, when it doesn't bother their spouse, that's great. You know, that just makes life easy. But when they're seeing me, it's oftentimes because the boundary that their spouse has set up has caused problems, not just physical problems, meaning, let's just use Alan's example without using Alan as the example. I'm no longer willing to go out to dinner with my kids, right? So now the spouse, not Alan's example, not Alan and his spouse, I'm just giving another example. You know, the spouse may be devastated, right? So they may be nice to their husband and say, okay, no problem. But that could be very difficult. And again, that is kind of more of a superficial example, but what if it's more personal? What if it's, you know, I'm not willing to have sex, you know, in the morning anymore, or I'm not willing to spend more than a day visiting your parents, or I'm not willing to go on vacation anymore. I don't like going on vacation, you know, I like staying at home, you know, like people can pop up with boundaries all they want, you know, it's their life, but what happens to the other partner? You know, so again, you know, in a good relationship, the goal of a boundary is obviously to be connecting. And in Alan's case, obviously him and his wife have a fantastic relationship. And God bless them. But for many people, you know, a spouse pops up with a boundary and it's difficult for the other partner. So we have to learn how to receive boundaries and how to give boundaries. And that's really where we're going here. So, Alan, just wave if you understood what I was saying and you kind of are okay with the way I kind of presented. I wasn't trying to use you as the example. Is that okay?
I'm not really sure how to wave, but I'm okay, okay with everything you said.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks. Yeah, I didn't want to put you on the spot. Cool. Hi, Dev. Now, Samara, you wanted to chat about something, so I'm going to give you a chance to speak real quickly. Hey, Samara, how are you? You still there? You still want to give it, want to say something? Okay. Hello. Hi, Dev. Okay, so we're just going to continue, I think. Coming forth. Okay, so let's get into the nuts and bolts of how to set a boundary. Okay, so given the background that we just said that, you know, boundaries by their nature are somewhat rejecting, although like as Alan mentioned, they are connecting as we talked about, but still by their very definition, it's how you no longer want to be treated, or as was mentioned, how what I'm not willing to go along with. So how do we set a boundary? Well, one typical scenario is, and this happens a lot, either with men or women, is that our spouse treats us in a certain way. And, you know, like I said before, maybe at first we're kind of neutral, and then they do it again, and then we realize, you know, that doesn't really feel good, but we don't really understand what it is. Maybe their voice was raised, or maybe they were annoyed, or maybe they asked something from us and it felt there was a lot of pressure, or maybe I'm finding myself repeating behaviors that I don't like Alan's, and maybe going out to dinner with the four little kids. I've been there, done that. It's not the most pleasant thing in the world. And so they kind of, but they're not really clear exactly on what the problem is. And then it happens again and then again, and they finally get a little clarity, but maybe it's a behavior that's kind of normalized in their relationship. And then it happens again and again, and then all of a sudden they blow up. I say, I can't stand this, or how could you have done this to me, or I'm not doing this anymore, or you know, I really feel it taken advantage of, right? This is fairly common, you know, where the behavior repeats itself over and over and over again. Anybody wants, they can raise their hand or just give a hundred sign if they've been in that situation where they've let something go and let something go that doesn't feel right, and they've let something go and they've let something go, and then all of a sudden, you know, their first way of responding to it is just kind of like exploding on their partner, right? This is very common. I'll just start with my 100 because this is definitely, you know, happened to me, where I've been that guy who, you know, has, you know, not handled it the way I wanted, and instead kind of, you know, been a little aggressive when I finally realized that my boundary was crossed. So we want to avoid that, right? Yes, Dev, I see that you're familiar with what I'm talking about. Well, we want to avoid that. We want to, the first thing we need to do when we realize and we've understood what our boundary is we need to say it nicely. Right, we need to say it kindly. You know, I feel that when we spend so much time at your family's house, it doesn't feel good to me, and I'm not sure, so sure that it's great for the kids. So I'm wondering if, you know, instead of spending a full week there, we could pare it down to 3 days. Right, that would be an example of how you say it nicely. Right, or we can give other examples like, hey, you know what? I'm not so comfortable when we show such passionate affection in public. It doesn't really work for me. I'm a little embarrassed. It doesn't feel comfortable. I love you, but I'm wondering if we can just kind of keep that more for the bedroom, and you know, just maybe hold hands in public if that works for you. You know, so even though we may sound a little weaker on our first go, we want to say it in a sensitive way and in a way that's kind, you know, where we minimize the disconnection and yet get our point across. And we have to realize that setting boundaries is not a one-stop shop. We don't just say things one time and expect our partner to be on board, to change their behavior, to stop treating us exactly the way we've defined. Maybe they've been doing this for a long time. Maybe this has been normal in your relationship. It takes time before behavior changes in your relationship. So you say it once nicely, you say it twice nicely, and you say it 3 times nicely. Hey, you know, I asked you last week or about a month ago, we talked about, you know, kind of where our hands are with regards to each other's. I've noticed that you haven't been able to kind of keep your hands off me. I know we love each other, but I'm wondering again if we can just kind of keep that in the bedroom and you know, and maybe just only hold hands or kiss on the cheek in public, you know, things like that. So that would be an example. Or other ones, like I said before, I mean, the number of boundaries that go on, you know, I know that you and I love to go out with friends on Friday night, but, you know, we've become really, you know, it's really difficult for out past 12 nowadays for whatever reason. If we can just make sure that if we go out on Friday night that we're both on board with getting home by 11, 11:30. You know, these are ways of setting your boundaries in a kind way. So that's the first step. Instead of just yelling at your partner and saying things like, you know, I can't believe you made me stay out late. I told you last week I didn't want to stay out late and I felt so alone and abandoned at this party. I really wanted to leave. I'm really upset. That's not going to get you. So you have to have patience, okay? Samra, let's give you another chance to chime in here. Okay, you've got the floor. You want to say something? Nope. Okay, we'll try again another time. Okay. The next thing that we want to do is, so after we've said the boundary, set the boundary kindly, and we've had patience, you know, minimal three times, because behavior takes a long time to change. You know, I remember, I'll give you a small story with one of my sons. My oldest son is 28 years old, and now he has two kids of his own, thank God. And, you know, when we were living in our house, when he used to live in this house, he's kind of a bigger boy, and he was a little clunky. So he... In the morning, he'd wake up early to go to school, and we had a house full of young babies and sleeping kids, and he would clunk his way down the stairs every single morning with his big size 12, you know, adolescent feet, you know, clunk, clunk, clunk down these wooden stairs in this larger home, and it kind of echoed throughout the whole house. And it didn't matter. I mean, I must have told him 1,000 times to walk softly and take off his shoes before he goes down the stairs. You know, the babies, once the babies get up, that's it. You know, they're up for the rest of the day. And, you know, we want to let them sleep. So, you know, and eventually over the years, he got a little bit better, you know. And One year, just a couple of years ago, he came with his little babies to come visit us. He lives in California now, and we live in Chicago. He came to visit. He put his babies upstairs to sleep in the guest room, in his old room. And he got up early because he gets up early with his kids. And I got up, and I started going down the stairs. And I was clunking my way down the stairs. And my son turns to me, and he goes, shh, like this with his hands. You know, he makes a shushing noise, and he says, Ty, Dad, you're waking up the kids. Oh my gosh, did I start beaming and laughing and smiling. It was hysterical. It was like the best day of my life. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been waiting for 25 years for you to say that to me. You know, like finally he gets it. You know, like no matter how many times I told him in the past to walk down the stairs quietly, only now that he has his children and he realizes that they're going to get up, you know, that's when he finally gets it. So the lesson of the story for me is that, you know, we can tell somebody something one times, two times, 10 times. And it's really important that we have patience with them because it's hard to change behavior. So, you know, but eventually people get it. So I'm just going to give another person a chance to speak here. So Larison, you want to get a chance to chime in?
Wanted to ask a question, but you can continue.
Okay, yeah. So let me just get to this. Yeah. The second step. So the second step is, so after the first step you ask kindly, the second step is we have to escalate a little bit, right? So escalating means that you draw attention to the fact that you've asked them for change in the past. So rather than just referencing the change, I'd really appreciate it if you did X, Y, and Z. We actually reference that change request in the past. So now what we do for the second step is we say, hey, I know we've talked about this in the past, right? So, and this is really bothersome to me. So you're escalating. And again, unfortunately, you are increasing a little bit in uncomfortability. There's no blame or criticism here. You're just drawing attention to the fact that this has been discussed in the past, right? So the second step is escalation of your request, but you're not just asking for the same thing over and over and over again. You're drawing attention to the fact that you've asked them for this in the past. This is uncomfortable because you're kind of calling out the person and not honoring you. And so, you know, this can get a little bit, you know, tense, but it's very important. It's an important second step. Again, we don't want to go to that place where we yell at them about it, where we say to them, how could you do this to me? Or we don't want to say things like, you don't care about me or any of that stuff. That's not where we're going with this. We're escalating. Escalating looks like, hey, I've asked you before. We've talked about this before. I can only stay up till 11 o'clock. You know, it's already past that. We've talked about this. How do you want to handle this now? Right? So it's a little uncomfortable, but it's getting your point across. Okay? So that's the second step. And then the third step is, again, is even a higher escalation. A higher escalation can look like many different things, but one of the ways that we escalate on a third step is that we refuse to engage in the behavior. So again, this is not the first step or the second step. This is the third step. Third step would be, you know, after a decent amount of time, and after you feel like they have all the information, it's not that they forgot, but what you could say, let's just say your partner is always giving you a hard time about leaving the party before midnight. I'm just using that example. We can come up with a million examples, right? So then what we do is we refuse to engage in the behavior at all. So we would say something like, I'd love to go out with you tonight to, you know, Sally's party, but I can't. Because every time I go out with you, you promise you're going to leave by noon, by midnight, and you don't. So I won't be going to her party anymore. I won't be going out with you, you know, at all. I mean, it doesn't have to be that extreme, but I won't be going out to these types of parties anymore. Kind of what Alan was sharing before, which was he's not going to go out to dinner with the four kids, and I don't blame him for that. You know, so that's a way that we escalate. And that could be a lot of different things. It doesn't have to be about going out to a party. It could be, I know in my house, my wife got very frustrated that I would walk in the front door after work with my wallet and my keys, and I would literally dump them anywhere that was convenient for me. I would just come in, you know, tired, I had a long day. I wasn't thinking. She had already set a place for my keys and wallet, and I would just bypass everything and just dump them anywhere on the couch, in the den, by the TV, you know, by the monitor, by the computer, anywhere in the bedroom, leave them in my pants pocket and put it in the washing machine, anything. And every morning I'd wake up and I'd say, hey, can you help me find my wallet and keys? You know, and my wife, being a good woman, always did. But at some point she just said, after she had asked me several times to put them away and set up a place for me, she finally said to me, you know what? I won't participate in this behavior anymore. So I no longer want to be asked to help you find your wallet and keys. And it didn't take long before, you know, a couple frustrating mornings. And I eventually realized that, you know, I needed to change if I wanted to have a functional morning. And I did. And now I never ask her anymore. I rarely do. In the times that I have asked her, in the last couple of years, it's only really been in an emergency situation where there's a high likelihood that maybe she moved them or one of the kids moved them. But basically, that's a third level of escalation where she refused to participate in the offensive behavior. Cool. Anybody else want to share? Maybe they have a story of a boundary that they set or that was set on them, where it was done in a respectful way, but an effective way. Maybe there's some, usually women are pretty good at setting boundaries. Maybe there's a woman here who wants to share how she got her husband to change his behavior through setting a boundary. No? Okay. Cool. Okay, Larison, did you want to ask your question?
I actually wanted to ask about boundaries in a specific situation that I have my girlfriend at the moment. but it's kind of complex. So I'm not sure if this is the right, you know, platform for it. It's kind of long.
You can ask. I just don't, you know, obviously okay. don't say anything embarrassing, but yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So, for the past three weeks or so, she's kind of been away trying to reconnect with herself. And by doing so, she was going to try to reconnect with me. But during this time, she hasn't really given me much. She's been very vague with what she's been thinking about. She's asked me to open up, and she hasn't really done that.
Okay.
And whenever we do speak, I just try to reconnect really fast, and she doesn't really want to. And then the other day, yesterday, we spoke. And I think she asked me to turn the video on so she could see the cat. And I didn't want to. I don't know why. It was just a feeling. I have no idea why. And then she got mad that I said that. And she hung up and she said, "You're being very sketchy. You know, I don't trust you." And then she didn't talk to me for a while. She was supposed to call me last night at 6 at night and tell me what she needs, you know. And she was very, let's say, sneaking around the bush. I'm like, okay, you know, I figured out what I need to be fulfilled. I haven't had a long time. It involves change. You know, are you willing to go the lengths? And that was a red flag for me because I was like, okay, I don't know what you're asking, so I can't say, yeah, honey, you know, I'm willing to do whatever you want. And so, you know, by the time we went to 6 o'clock, she didn't call me. She hadn't texted me anything. She didn't tell me what she was up to. And I blew up, man. I just blew up on her. I sent her this bunch of messages. I'm like, why? She made some tweets about how, you know, why would you give your resources or your gifts to someone and all you get is in return is mistrust, which is like effectively what I'm doing. I'm trying to give and she's not really fucking giving anything back. And I got mad. So I quoted the tweet to her. I sent her a bunch of messages. And I was like, you know, I have dealt with this other stuff, but I have dealt with a lot of stuff from you for 2 years. You haven't told me anything. I've been in the dark. I've told you all this stuff. You know, you're teetering around what your needs are. Grown all this much in this past 2.5 years, but you still don't trust me. That's because I cheated on her 2.5 years ago, unfortunately. And she still doesn't trust me. And you know, I've been really trying to just hold on and hold judgment and give her the space. But when, you know, it was really hard. And then a couple hours after that, I realized, okay, I blew up. I need to take responsibility. And so I still came from the same part of my heart, let's say, where I was angry. But I took responsibility for the anger. I took responsibility for all the things I said after, too. And I was just like, look, listen, this is why I'm angry. I'm angry because of this. You know, I understand that you're following your feelings right now, but it's irresponsible for us not to take responsibility or accountability for what we're doing. Like, how I blew up, how you're doing this stuff, whatever. You know, and like, if we don't communicate, I blow up. And right now, she's still just tweeting stuff about, like, I don't know, being on her own or stuff like that. I just, the boundary issues here is like, am I just extending too far, man? And like, is this, I don't know, it's weird. What do you think?
Yeah. Wow, this sounds like a very difficult situation that you're in. You know, it sounds like at some point you said 2.5 years ago or so, you kind of betrayed her trust. And then now she's kind of hesitant to, for some reason, there's an aspect of your relationship which doesn't feel good to her, and she's off finding herself, and in the process of off finding herself, you feel mistreated, and it doesn't feel good for you. Is that kind of what's going on here?
Yeah, it's been really hard these past 2 weeks, not knowing what's going on. Tweeting all this stuff. Yeah, it sucks.
And are her tweets like passive aggressive about you? And she's just not like.
Pretty much. They're not like hugely, but yeah, they are.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And they're negative. Like, so they're like, wow, I really love my boyfriend. It's more like.
Yeah, there hasn't been any much positivity.
Uh-huh.
But like when she talks to me, sometimes she's like loving and then. But she still doesn't share. It's weird, man. I'm getting mixed signals.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, Whew. Wow. Okay. Yeah, it sounds like a...
Seriously.
Yeah. Well, listen, this is what I would, you know, this is what I would say in this particular situation. We need, there's two things that are going on here, in my opinion. Number one, you are sensing that your boundaries are being violated. So there's that piece of you that's saying, I don't like to be treated this way. I don't want you going off for 2 weeks or 3 weeks without us having a status in our relationship. That doesn't feel good to me. I certainly don't feel good about publicly tweeting about our relationship. You know, and kind of being the subject of what you're writing about online. That's fair to say that that's correct so far. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's number one. So your boundary is being violated, and it's cool. It's good that you are aware of that, right? Unfortunately, today we see, just as a side note, we see a lot of men, even and women, who are being publicly humiliated and mistreated, and they're totally unaware. You know, they're being made a fool out of, and they're not even aware of that. So I'm happy for you and feel good, and you should feel confident in yourself that you're aware of, you know, that this isn't how you want to be treated. So good for you on that. Now, the second part is that your girlfriend, it feels to me that your girlfriend needs some space. I don't know what she's doing right now or what's bothering her, but, you know, we want to be able to allow our partners, and this is true even, I know it sounds crazy, but this is true even in marriage, right? In marriage, it may seem like you're tied at the hip, but you're not really. You know, we need to give our partners that space to find themselves, to kind of build themselves, if that's what they're doing, to kind of set their compass straight, right? So even though that doesn't feel good to us, because it is a period of limbo, you know, it's like, hey, what about me and you? Like, what happened to that? Like, I thought we were in love. I thought we were taking on the world together. Like, where's my partner, right? What do you mean what are you doing? Like, are you throwing me out with the rest of everything else? Like, what's going on? You know, and that's challenging. And that happens, by the way, even when you're married. People change in a marriage. And sometimes your spouse will kind of redefine himself or herself, and the other spouse gets nervous. So there is that, but at the same time, we need to give our partners the opportunity to redefine themselves. Okay, so there's these two forces that seem to be working in play in your life right now. Neither of them feel really good. Okay, so in line with the talk that we're having right now, without me knowing much more about your situation, this is the position that I would take if I were you. And now I don't know you that well, obviously. I don't know you at all, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But this is a position that you could take. Okay? How's this? And we'll try this on and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
First of all, take a deep breath. Okay. There you go. This isn't all about you. Okay? This is not all about you. So she's going through something. We don't know what it is, so this is not all about you. So that's the first thing, we got to just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, hey, you know, I'm not perfect, but she's not doing this because of me. She's doing this because of her, which is fine. Okay. So the path that I would think would be appropriate is, I see you want your own space, and that's awesome. You know, I'm going to miss you while you take this time. And because I love being with you and I love us and I'm fine and I think things are great, you know. But during this space that we're going to take, I'm going to also want some space. So I'm also going to, you know, be kind of pulled back a little bit, not because I don't love you or I don't care about you, but just because that's the nature of one person taking space. You also want your space respected. Okay, so that's the first thing. right? So if you're acting a little out of sorts, or if you're choosing not to do things, or if you're behaving a little differently, that's fine, you know, and you both have to respect that about each other. So she's going to take one step backwards, and that gives you, you know, let her know that you're also going to be taking, you know, a half a step back. Not a full step. You don't need a full step, but, you know, you're part of this, and half of you is now missing. So, you know, you're not going to be standing in the same line that you were before. No big deal. You're not threatening anything. You're just saying that, you know, let's both take a breather. Okay. That's number one. The second thing is you say that for yourself, you insist during this time you treat each other respectfully. Okay, this isn't, you know, if she wants to break up, she can break up, but there's no writing about me. Online, you don't want to be seeing tweets. She's welcome to share with her friends, a therapist, her mom, whatever it is. But publicly, you're not comfortable with any information about your relationship or any tweets about your relationship. You know, or say things which make you, I don't know, how does that sound to you? I think I may have lost him a little bit. Hopefully he'll join back in. But maybe if somebody else has some advice that they were listening to and he can jump back on, maybe that would be helpful. Okay. The goal is that the last thing we want to do is get into a fight with our partner. You know, in his situation, if anybody was listening or they heard what he said, he kind of lost it with her, right? So his boundaries were violated. She kind of left the relationship, you know, temporarily, however she wanted to define it. And then not only did she remove herself, but she was expecting him to be all in. Meaning when he didn't do something that she liked, she got upset at him. And then the second thing she did was that she was writing about him online, you know, in a way that's not becoming. And both of those things are somewhat of a boundary violation. The second one is for sure. We never write things about our partners or our spouse online. That's horrible, right? Even after the relationship, we don't do that. That's terrible. Bad character. But, you know, I feel that giving her the space she needs, even if she has to pull back, that's normal. You know, it's uncomfortable, but it's normal. We have to make space for our partners to kind of just find themselves or go through their own thing. You know, you can't always be on top of each other. You need to give each other room to be who you are. The second part, though, writing things online, you know, stuff like that, totally unacceptable. So that was my advice to him. You know, his boundaries were being violated. And even though he could have said, well, if you're pulling back, the relationship is over. I don't want to be in a relationship with somebody who is not all in, right? I won't be somebody's second fiddle, right? That's his boundary. But I don't recommend that because sometimes your partner does need a little space. So you set a time limit on it. You say to yourself, okay, this can go on for 3 months, 2 months, 2 weeks, 6 months, whatever it is. When you're married, it can go on for longer than that, right? And there's much more at risk when you're married. You may have a bunch of kids. You may have a 20-year relationship. So it could go on for years, you know, where your partner feels a little bit checked out and you just plow through it and you just do your best to stay connected to your partner during that time. And you can't tell you how many marriages have turned around after the 1 year, 2 year, 3 year period has gone by, you know. So that would be my advice to him. We need to understand, you know, not only do we set our limitations, we set our boundaries, we say, okay, you know, but we also have to know when to forgive also, because sometimes our boundaries headbutt with our partner and we don't want to lose the relationship necessarily. So, okay. The third, I wanted to talk about higher levels of boundary setting. Also, so the third level that we talked about was when, you know, you refuse to participate in the behavior. And we talked about that before, where that could mean not, no longer, you know, whatever your boundary is, you no longer do it. So we gave a couple examples. Like we said, this gentleman was here earlier. He said that he's no longer going out to dinner with the kids. I know a couple that used to go on vacation. You know, everyone likes to go to Hawaii with their partner, or they like to go to, you know, get in the van and travel across the United States, or take a road trip or a trip to Florida. I mean, a lot of couples don't get along when they do that, and they end up fighting, and it ends up ruining their, not only does it end up ruining their vacation, but it's very scarring to their relationship. So I know a gentleman who turned towards his wife and said, you know what, I don't think we should go on vacation anymore. Again, this is not the first level of boundary setting, but it just got to the point where the vacations, not only did they take time and money and effort, but there was so much fighting and so much bad will that he just said, you know what, this is not something for me. I'm not going to do it. And it took years before they eventually got back to the place where they could go on vacations. You know, it took years. But it worked for them. You know, it was uncomfortable, but sad, right? Because who wants to be in a relationship where you can't get on a plane and go to Fiji together or something like that, right? Like, that's all the movies we see. But sometimes we have to know ourselves. And if you're going to fight about every little thing on the vacation, it's not worth it, you know? So that's the third level, is to refuse to participate in the behavior, right? And there are actually two more levels of boundary setting, which I'm not going to really share right here on the talk, because they're like black belt boundary settings and they're not pleasant. So I don't really want to talk about them. Hopefully, you know, between these three levels of boundary settings, you should have no problem. You know, you should ask nicely, right? That's the first one. And repeatedly. So you have to ask nicely and repeatedly, and keep in mind that this is difficult for your partner. The second level is bring attention to, you've asked about this before. That's the key to the second level. You say, this is something we've discussed. So how are we going to make sure this doesn't happen again? Right? So you're in collaboration still, but you're bringing attention to the boundary itself, no longer just asking for a behavior change. And the third level is going to be refusing to participate in the behavior anymore. So yeah, and, you know, and that could be anything, literally anything. Not, you know, it can go, and it can be even things that are intimate. Does anybody want to share their story of either having set a boundary or and it worked, or maybe you set a boundary and it didn't work, or maybe a boundary was set on you, Dave, and you know, it didn't feel good, but it created greater closeness, you know, in the long run. It actually worked. You know, because sometimes it doesn't, it never feels good to be the recipient of a boundary, you know. Yeah. Anybody here, an expert boundary center that wants to, Elizabeth, you threatened last time that you were going to speak. I don't know if you're going to do it again, if you're going to actually do it. Maybe X, you want to share, or Ket, you want to share? Okay. Yeah. So, hi, Inner. Nice to see you. Yeah, we're talking about boundaries here today, and we discussed the different levels of boundary setting. Maybe you want to share with us, Inner, some of your thoughts on setting boundaries, or, you know, how maybe you've been the recipient of a boundary and it hasn't felt good, or maybe it felt great, or maybe it brought closeness to your relationship. But this is what we're discussing here today. Yeah, okay, so Samara, you want to share now? Let's see if we can get you. Hello. Yes, just unmute yourself and share away.
Hi, David. Yes, so I'd had some issues with the mic, or when I was speaking, where you let me on, then it was... then I couldn't hear anything, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about the relationship between healthy boundary setting and, or just boundaries in general, and respect. and how respect levels can raise or lower, and what to do about that.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't really want to go too much into it, but just really just generally speaking, the correlation between respect and boundaries, if we could talk a little bit about that.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you know, that's a great point, because oftentimes people who have an issue with the way they're treated, they feel like they're being disrespected, right? So mm-hmm. if my partner's treating, is that a fair statement,
right,
Samara?
Right.
Yeah, and that actually affects the way we set our boundaries, right? And that actually, in my opinion, can sometimes be dangerous, because what we fail to realize, if we're the person who feels like our boundaries are being violated, what we oftentimes fail to realize is that most of the time our partner isn't violating our boundaries because they disrespect us. It's not, even though it feels that way to us, right? It feels like, hey, how come you keep doing this?
Mm-hmm.
That's not how our partners oftentimes see it. And when we move to that zone where we start bringing in the concept of respect or disrespect, what we're doing now is creating judgment within the relationship. And that's not a good idea.
Mm.
Okay.
What does that mean, bringing judgment?
Well, what that means is you start saying to yourself, this person's disrespecting me. They don't care about me. They don't love me. They're behaving badly.
I see.
Right? And once we start going into that zone, how could you have done this to me? You're misbehaving. This isn't what people do. I don't deserve this. You know, if you cared about me, you wouldn't treat me this way. These are all normal phrases that people say when they feel like they're being disrespected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once we move into that zone, now we're bringing judgment into our relationship. And once we bring judgment into the relationship, it starts falling into the realm of criticism. And that's never, in my opinion, never a good thing. So that's distancing your partner because you're assuming certain motivations or thoughts or beliefs about your partner, which usually are not true. So instead of focusing on the idea of respect or disrespect, if you respected me, you would do this, or if you're doing X, Y, and Z, if you're treating me in this way, that means you disrespect me. You're a disrespectful person. You don't care about me or us. These are very charged thoughts to have about our partner, and even more charged to say. So instead of going down that path, what we want to do is we want to just focus on the behavior. This behavior doesn't work for me. I don't know why you do this. I know that you love me and care about me, so I'm confident that you're not doing this to hurt me. You probably don't realize it, but when this happens, I feel terrible. It feels really bad to me. I don't know why. You know, it may not make sense to you, because I know that if you really understood how I felt, you would never do it because you care about me. Okay? So that's mm-hmm. the kind of language we want to use. That brings your partner closer rather than separating you, rather than putting your partner on the opposite side of a good person. You know, we're actually building up our partner. I know that if you understood how I felt, you would never do this. So I'm confident that you would never do anything to hurt me. And yet this behavior keeps on happening. So I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to let you know again that this is not a way that I can be treated, or this is not something that can continue. Or this is, like I said before, the three steps. This is not something I'm willing to participate in anymore.
Thanks for sharing that. My partner and I have discussed the importance of also validating before going into further statements like, oh, I hear you. It sounds like this is really important to you. So before you go further, I just want to let you know, I hear you. I see you. And then that really I feel helps set the tone to give that space for growth and more compassion within the relationship. It's great. Thanks, David.
Oh, totally. Yeah, of course. And thanks for joining in, of course. Okay, so I have another gentleman here who wants to share something. I'm going to let him come on. Princely, here we go. Hey, Princely, how are you? You just need to unmute yourself. There you go. Hello. Hello. Okay, he's getting there. He's getting there. Yeah, so one of the things that Samara was, you know, discussing was that, you know, like I said, it's very easy to feel disrespected when your boundaries are violated, and that's normal, right? So if you feel disrespected, that's okay for you to feel disrespected. And it could be, the truth is, it could be that your partner is disrespecting you, but we don't want to go there in our minds, right? We don't want to label a partner as disrespecting or disrespectful. Especially in relationship. I like to talk about relationships in general as what's called the no judgment zone. And what that means is that we don't look at our partner through a judgmental eye. We don't say, this is right, this is wrong, you're good, you're bad. You know, we don't, good things, judgmental you can do if it's good. That we can always do. You're a great partner, you're fantastic, I love you, you're perfect. That's fine. But when I say a no judgment zone, I mean in the negative sense. We don't judge our partner. So what we do is we focus on the behavior instead. We say, this behavior works for me, this behavior doesn't. This feeling, this feeling makes me happy. This type of, you know, interaction makes me feel sad, right? Without any blame or criticism, because blame and criticism is just going to get you a fight, and we do not want to go there, that's for sure. So, Princely, if you want to speak, you're welcome to. You just have to unmute your button. Does anybody else have any questions? Hello.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
I'm always figured out how to accept permission for Twitter to use my mic. Anyway.
I see.
Thank you so much for doing this. I think you're one of the most insightful, balanced and calmly wise voices on relationships. So thank you so much for doing this and creating this space. I think I'll start there.
Appreciate that. Thank you for your kind words. Yes.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of just share something else regarding what you've just said about having your relationship as a no judgment zone,
okay,
which is an incredibly simple thing, but difficult to kind of do,
of course.
Right?
Difficult
in practice, because it's very easy to just to look at your partner through a lens of whether they're doing something right or whether they're doing something wrong.
Correct.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely.
One of the things that we've kind of learned, which we're still, my partner and I, we're still, you know, learning. But I'm really grateful that I have the partner I have, because her and I discuss these things a lot. We really go deep. And one of the like basic things we've kind of learned that helps us is to connect before you correct, right?
Okay, so, beautiful, yeah.
So it's a lot more natural or easier, or like, it's just easier for us to correct each other. Like we find that's what we mostly do, mostly maybe because of how you've been parented or how you interact with the rest of the world. It's just easy to go straight into correcting your partner, to try and tell them that, oh, you're doing this wrong and you're doing that. And when we find ourselves doing that, we kind of try and just remind ourselves to connect first, which okay. kind of links with what Samara was saying about validating first. But yeah, I thought I should just say that it's been useful for us, and it's something that we kind of use as a tool to remind each other, like, okay, I feel like you're correcting me right now, but I don't really feel connected.
That's so terrific.
Maybe let's try connecting first, and then we can, I can learn from you.
Right. Yeah, no, that's, I love that. I love that idea of connecting first. And I think that's very, very important. And it sounds to me like you do have a wonderful relationship with your partner. And it's certainly, if you two are on the same page regarding this, that makes your relationship much easier to kind of grow and build, you know, when you both have an agreed upon methodology of how to communicate, you know, your needs and your and what works for you and what doesn't work for you. So that's amazing. Good for you. Now, that being said, go ahead.
I'm sorry. There's one thing you said that I also really learned from today, which I'd never really considered, which is the lens of essentially the respect thing, right?
Okay.
It's usually super easy for us humans to look at things through that lens, right? Through the lens of, you're disrespecting me. If you were more respectful towards me, this is how you would have acted. But I like the tool of focusing on the behavior and focusing on what you can control, which is your behavior, and focusing on what you can control on the other side, which is what you accept. Right, what you like, what you accept, that's literally all you can do. You can't change someone, you can't make them do anything they don't want to do themselves. So I really like that tool of essentially not focusing on, oh, this is disrespectful, this is respectful, because it's very easy to kind of fall into that trap, rather than just say, this is something you've done and this is how it's affected. Hello, I'm done. Thank you.
Yes, that sounds good. That sounds good. I got disconnected there just for a quick second, but I did hear what you said. I do want to mention that, can everybody hear me okay? Cool. Just, oh, hey, Elizabeth, oh, you didn't decide to speak. Awesome. Oh, good. Glad you can hear me. I just want to say, Princely, I deeply respect your comments, and I felt that you got everything, you know, really well, but I do want to bring up this one point about, and I hate to use what you said as an example, because like you said, it does work so well for you and your spouse, which is just fantastic. And I hope that you two continue to build your relationship. And you know, maybe I'll make another space on this because it is getting a little late, because I want to end by 5. In general, I feel like the idea of correcting your partner in and of itself is what I would consider a mild danger zone, especially if it's a man trying to correct his wife. Okay. That usually does not work out very well. So again, I don't just for the sake of semantics, I prefer, just since this is the space that I'm in and I'm kind of running this space, exactly, Rasha, you know what I'm talking about, right? We don't correct our spouse, especially a man does not correct his wife or his girlfriend. That's not the way, you know, in my language. So just, again, I'm not saying for you, Princely, that it doesn't work perfectly. I'm just saying when my clients come to me, one of the things which I work with, especially on the men, is that it is not our job to correct our spouse. And I know you don't mean it like that, Princely, so you don't have to feel like you need to respond to this. But what I'm trying to say is that we can teach by example. We can share what works for us. We can explain how we would do things, right? So that's language which took me years to learn. But when my wife speaks to me, and she says, you know, even if she says to me something as innocuous or as innocent as, what do you think I should do? Even in that situation, I never even say, this is what you should do. Even if she says to me, what do you think I should do? I won't even respond with, this is what I think you should do. What I would say, and it took me years to learn this, is, this is what I would do if I were in your situation, but maybe you want to do something different. And then I'll go ahead and say what I would do. So we have to, in my opinion, it's so important, especially as a man, to kind of tiptoe around this idea of, in any way, telling our spouse in any way what to do, or even suggesting that our way is the right way or the better way. Let your spouse come to you. I've had my wife come to me and say things like, hey, you know, I really want you to tell me what to do. I'm asking you specifically to tell me what to do. And that's always a much better place to be in than to be in a place where you kind of find yourself find yourself telling them or correcting them or, you know, giving unsolicited advice or even solicited advice, you know. So we just want to be really cautious. And I understand, Princey, in your situation, I'm sure that's what you meant, or you guys have a great way of doing it. I wasn't trying to imply that. What I am trying to say is that even in our basic conversation with our spouses, we just have to be really, really careful that, you know, there's no judgment here. Everything they're doing is fine. You know, if there's something that bothers me, it's something that I can bring up to them, in the sense that it's an issue that I'm facing. This is the way I feel when this happens. But we want to just stay away from the idea of anything having to do with right and wrong. Or correcting or not correcting, because again, correcting implies judgment. So I'm like Superman with, it's kryptonite. Judgment to me in relationships is kryptonite. You know, it's a total kryptonite. Like, I just stay away totally. So I'm a little like really OCD about that. I'm going to give Elizabeth the chance to check to talk. Hey, Liz, how are you? Just turn your speaker on and you can share with us what you're thinking. I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, I'll just share really quickly, and it's somewhat unrelated, and maybe it has been brought up already, but
okay.
Something on this conversation that I think for me personally has been really important is that, like, the idea that it's okay if my partner and my husband like slips up from time to time, if you will, like, you know, if he falls back into old habits or does something that I've previously set a boundary on and talked to him about, and like he's agreed to work on it, and then like a week later or 2 weeks later or a month later it happens again, right? Or like something like that. That's something that I've kind of learned to be sensitive about and like kind of patient with, because I think like years ago I kind of had this mentality that he had to, as soon as I spoke to him about something, things had to change, and if things didn't change, like something was wrong and we had to have another conversation about it. And like now I will say to him, like, I will point it out, it's not like I won't say anything, but kind of having a bit of grace with him and like a bit of patience that, you know, it's, and him doing the same with me as well, which I think is partially how I learned that to do that with him, because I realized I appreciate when he does that with me, so I started doing it with him as well.
Awesome. That's really, really helpful. Yeah, that's a huge growth level in your relationship and in your maturity when you can give space. You know, I know some people here are more religious than others. Some people are more observant. But, you know, if we think about it, you know, even for those people here who not necessarily believe in God, but we like to think about, you know, how much patience does God have for us, right? I mean, it's infinite, right? We make a mistake and we make a mistake and we make a mistake and we make a mistake. You know, it just never ends, right? And if God were to pull the plug on our lives every time we screwed up, you know, we'd all last about a day and a half. Right. So we also, you know, it's a sense, it's a sign of maturity. It's a sign of emotional fortitude. It's a sign of love and forgiveness and character if we're able to forgive our spouses without even, you know, saying anything or bringing it up or gently reminding, you know, without spazzing out. You know, it shows a, we have to, it speaks volumes to the goodwill that's between you. And this is something that we brought up, I brought up in the very beginning of the conversation for those who have joined a little bit later. Oftentimes, if you're the boundary setter, I just want to say this, you know, you may feel a little indignant about your boundary. Like, you may feel like, well, this is, you know, how I want to be treated, or this is how I will no longer be treated. Or some of us even go so far as to say, well, they should have known this without me even telling them. I mean, who behaves like this, right? So we take on an attitude of pride, so to speak, regarding our boundaries. And as we mature and as we, you know, grow together, we might not realize that oftentimes our boundaries are difficult for our partner, and they're really sacrificing for them. And it takes a little bit of effort on their part and patience on our part to get to smooth things out between us. So I've really enjoyed this, and it's 5 o'clock at my time, and I do have an appointment, but it's really been terrific sharing with everybody and talking with everybody. And I really appreciate everybody that's been on. And just follow me on Twitter if you want to know when my next space will be, probably maybe on Sunday. I'll send out a message, and anybody who wants to work with me can come to my website, davidfeldman.com. I'm open there for clarity calls or anything else. But God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. And don't forget, if you're a man and you're in a relationship, you know, go out there, buy your wife some flowers, your girlfriend some flowers every Friday night. Friday flowers. It's a huge, huge, great way to start the weekend. Okay. God bless everybody, and we'll keep in touch. Till next time. Take care.